Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm Jason Logan, your host for about the next 10 minutes or so as we get you ready for week three, which is a tricky week. But luckily, we have an ace up our sleeve. We're talking about bookie turned professional better and one of the best sports betting analysts out there in the industry, Mr. Todd Furman. Todd, welcome back to the Sharp 600 for another week. Buddy, what goes up must come down. And it's a lesson that you and I know all too well. We've been doing this for a while. We went 5-1 with our week one podcast picks. It gets flipped on its head. If we go 2-4 last week, the sports betting gods obviously demanded a little balance. So we'll see. But you hit with the Vikings, +6. Great call on that one. I had Zay Flowers touchdown anytime, +195. That makes us 7-5 with the pod picks so far. Good profits coming from those touchdown anytime props. I think we're 3-4 on those so far this year. Totals, however, giving us trouble, specifically me. I whiffed on 2 last week. What am I doing wrong with totals, man? How do I cap totals, especially earlier in the year where you know there's a lot of things slow, a lot of things ahead of the game. What am I doing wrong with totals?
You know, it's a process. And look, I can't say anything to the contrary. I mean, my total first half over between the Buccaneers and Lions, and I watched the Lions go up and down the field. But as we know, when you bet an over, kicking field goals, not exactly the recipe for success. But I think that's been the big talking point for the NFL over the first 2 weeks. We're seeing red zone efficiency down. We're seeing passing yards and touchdowns down overall. But the betting market is the ultimate indicator of efficiency. So I think if you're a totals bettor, you have to really trust your numbers. And over the course of a large sample size, if you're working off a model or you're playing a little bit more true X's and O's handicap, that you are going to find yourself on the right side of variance sometimes and on the wrong side of others. And as we've seen in the NFL, all it takes is one field goal turning into a touchdown or vice versa to change that win-loss on your balance sheet.
Nice. So not overreacting to what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, which is something the betting public just can't help to do sometimes. So I guess just trust the process. Are we going with the 76ers philosophy here?
I mean, look, we should have at least one NBA reference given the major news that we saw shocking the NBA landscape earlier today. I figured, Jason, you might not be with us by week 9, 10, or 11 for the Sharp 600 if you threw your hat into the ring to take Woj's job as an NBA insider, taking that lucrative seven-figure deal that I'm sure ESPN would be willing to offer up to you.
I'll go Scrooge McDuck and swim in that. So for that. Before we get on to week 3, we ask that if you like what Todd and I are kind of spitting in your ear each week, we want you to go and let us know. Rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. Give it that thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe. That way you don't miss any episodes. That would be the responsible thing to do. Todd, if you're ready to go, let's go. 600 seconds on the clock for NFL week 3. All right, we're 2 weeks in, which is just enough time for some abrupt adjustments to the futures markets. Todd, any overreactions, overadjustments that you're buying back here now that we're heading into week 3?
You know, I think the most fascinating division from top to bottom would have to be the AFC North, where the two teams that everyone thought were going to be the runaway candidates in the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens have both started the campaign 0-2. Meanwhile, the Steelers that everybody ran over men, women, and children to bet them under their win total yet again, thinking that what Mike Tomlin could do wouldn't be sustainable, sit atop that division in 2-0. So it's a question of if you think that the Bengals get things turned around. I mean, look, they're a massive favorite this weekend against the Commanders, but I think the Ravens will be just fine. So I'd be looking to maybe buy a little bit of Ravens money, much to the chagrin of your Dallas Cowboys this coming Sunday.
After Sunday, that team is pretty much dead to me. They quit on me, and I quit on you. I'm going to go to D'Amico Ryan's coach of the year. It's not necessarily a buyback because this number is kind of bounced between like 12-1, 14-1. It's 14-1 right now, but I look at all the successful starts to the season, and I look at Houston. I'm like, this is kind of the one team that can sustain that sort of thing. This is what we expected from them, and I think they have a legit shot to finish with the top seed in the AFC. They have a big head start in that AFC South. We look at some of the AFC contenders. All of them kind of have their foibles. Nobody looks invincible at this point. Their adjusted win total up to 10.5 over -150, which is the third highest in the AFC behind Kansas City and Buffalo, who are going to run into some tough schedule coming up. So I think if Houston tops the AFC, I think you're still getting good value with Ryan's at 14-1 right now. All right, Todd, like I said, just 2 weeks of results. There is overreaction. My NFL underdogs column, I say week 3 is tricky because we know just enough to be dangerous. And it's very, very true. Some of the results that we thought were going to happen, happened, and some of them didn't. those ones that kind of underperformed, is it time for those teams and players to start pushing the panic button? So I'm going to hand you the fictional panic button here in week three, and I'm going to give you some stuff, and you tell me whether you're pushing it or not. Baltimore Ravens, you may have already answered this. Baltimore Ravens, 0-2 start. You pushing the panic button?
I'm not with the Ravens. I don't like the way they finished against the Raiders. It continued a disturbing trend of John Harbaugh's teams not being able to close things out. You do worry a little bit on the defensive side, some of the brain drain that they've lost from defensive coordinators. Zach Orr maybe a bit over his skis to start the season. But I think when you look at the landscape in that division, the Ravens will be fine. They'll figure out their offensive line issues. But they better play with a sense of urgency this weekend against your beloved Cowboys.
Against my beloved Cowboys. Detroit Lions scoring woes. Panic button? No panic button?
I'm going to go no panic button. I think last week becomes an outlier against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They move the football up and down the field, go 1 of 7 in terms of their red zone execution. But Ben Johnson didn't forget how to call an offense, and I think they'll get back to basics. You do worry a little bit about Amon-Ra St. Brown being nicked up some, but I think the emergence of Jameson Williams gives them another weapon. The Lions will be just fine, and a little foreshadowing, they may become just fine as early as this Sunday on the road against Arizona.
All right. And a big glowing coral orange panic button in Miami Dolphins with Tua. Is it panic time?
Oh, I think it's time to panic there for the Dolphins. You look at Skylar Thompson. We have a decent sample size for what he's done or hasn't done as the pivot under center. The Dolphins go out, bring in Tyler Huntley. But I think there's real legitimate concern, mainly because Skylar Thompson isn't that guy. The offensive line is nicked up. And defensively, they have a long way to go. But they have taken money this weekend for their trip to the Pacific Northwest. Let's see if they're able to rebound with extended time to prepare against a 2-0 Seahawks team that'll provide a stiff defensive test.
I like the Huntley ad. I do have the Seahawks as my survivor pick this week. On to Thursday Night Football, AFC East. We got the Patriots and the Jets. New York laying -6.5, the biggest pile of chalk that gangrene has had to scale in a long, 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 long time. Both teams pretty banged up, and New York playing a 3 games and 10 day window. Any thoughts, any bets for Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, a little bit of a concern there. You mentioned the schedule congestion for a team, especially an elderly quarterback and 4-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And the Jets, for me, haven't shown an ability to create separation or win by margin. 17 points last week against the Titans came directly from Titans miscues, whether they were penalties, special teams gaffes, or ill-timed penalties from one Jeffrey Simmons. So I look at New England. They've shown fight. Look, as New England continues to get deeper into the season, I think some of their offensive shortcomings will become more evident. And maybe this week the Jets completely stymie them. But I would lean towards the Patriots, but what I think could be a little bit of a lower scoring game. I'm just not sure we see big plays either way from either of these two AFC East rivals.
Yeah, injuries up and down the defenses, offensive line for the Pats looking pretty rotten. That's why I like Hunter Henry over 3.5 receptions in this. It's +102 at FanDuel. In terms of the passing game for the Patriots, it's not much, and Hunter Henry might just be it. He was targeted 12 times, had 8 catches against Seattle. With the offensive line a mess, I think they're not going to be able to run the ball as well as they have. I think they're going to give up some yards. They're going to get some sacks. They're going to be in some long downs passing situations. If we look at the spread, 6.5, game script says they're going to be playing from behind and going to have to pass. And Jacoby Brissett does not want to push the ball downfield by any means. And Hunter Henry is really his dude. Player projections right now bounce between 3.5 and 4 catches for Henry. And one little note here with the Jets is that C.J. Mosley, one of their top coverage linebackers, missed the last 2 days of practice with a toe injury, might not be on the field for this one, so that leaves them with a little soft spot in that middle of the field where Henry can pick it up. He may only have, shit, he may only have like 25 yards, but I think he could catch 4 or 5 balls for those little short outs when the pressure comes after Jacoby Brissett on Thursday.
And to your point, Jason, I think the other concern is, you know, D.J. Reed, he was surprised inactive on Sunday against the Titans. Let's see if he's out there in a full capacity on a short turnaround against the Patriots.
Yeah. At all three levels, looks like the Jets are going to be missing some players. All right, Todd, I wanted to touch on big underdogs, and we have one on Thursday Night Football, Pats +6.5. If we look through the first 2 weeks of football, underdogs of +5.5 or higher, they are 5-4 straight up and 8-0-1 ATS, depending on where you got that Chicago line at there for Sunday Night Football. Any insight into to what we're looking at here?
I mean, look, the league loves parity, Jason, and we're seeing that paying in spades at the betting window through the first 2 weeks. And I think it further suggests something that I was taught at a younger age. If you're looking to back an NFL underdog, I'm not saying just bet them on the money line, but create a little bit of exposure to that money line price tag, because all it takes is getting one team across the finish line, like the Las Vegas Raiders, at plus 370 or plus 380. It affords you some cushion. So bet those dogs plus the points, but maybe allocate about 15 to 20% of your position to bet them on the money line as well.
All right, good advice as we head into Thursday Night Football. Touchdown anytime props at FanDuel Sportsbook. Todd, who do we like to find pay dirt in week three?
I'm going to go to a player, Jason, that has been the bane of every fantasy owner's existence since he was drafted into the league. The tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Pitts, to find pay dirt this weekend. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they have struggled immensely to slow down opposing tight ends through the first 2 weeks of the season. Mike Gesicki off the milk carton for the Bengals. Isaiah likely putting up career numbers week one. I think London draws a favorable matchup and will provide a big target for Kirk Cousins, who's brimming with confidence off that Monday Night Football comeback.
All right, more tight end love. I'm going Sam Laporta, plus 150 for the Lions. Now, the Lions last year, one among the best red zone offenses out there. This year, ice cold. And Laporta, running 17 routes, has been targeted only once inside the red zone. There were opportunities he was open last week that they whiffed on it. I'm sure they're going to pick that up in film this week. This is a pretty bad Arizona red zone defense, and they gave up 8 touchdowns to tight ends last year. So I like Sam Laporta, plus 150, to finally crack the end zone and finally crack what is a slow start for the offense in Detroit. 2 minute drill time. That means our best bets for week three. Todd, what do you got?
You know, normally for me, Jason, 70 to 75% of the sides I'll play in the NFL are underdogs. But this week I find myself on a pair of favorites. We'll start with a home favorite here. I think the Tennessee Titans are a wrongful 2-0. With some better decision-making from Will Levis, there's a great chance that this team could be 2-0 on the season. I think it is an outstanding buy-low opportunity against their former quarterback and Malik Willis. It's the Titans' defense that makes a difference. I'm laying 2.5 against the Packers.
Speaking of the Titans, the team that was able to come back, I like Chicago plus 1.5 at Indianapolis here. The question is not if Anthony Richardson is going to throw an INT against Chicago. It's how many INTs is he going to throw against Chicago? This Bears defense is legit. They've been legit since midway through last year. A ton of pressure, a ton of disruption. Caleb Williams, I think he puts in his best effort here, facing a pretty bad Colts defense against the pass. If you're feeling froggy, Chicago defensive TD is out there plus 700, but I like the points and the Bears.
And for me, my second best bet, I'm going to go with the road team here and lay a short number with the Detroit Lions. We talked about their offensive ineptitude last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but you dive into that box score, they nearly doubled up the Bucs in terms of total yardage. I think defensively this week, they have a massive edge. They'll be able to pressure Kyler Murray, force him into a couple of short fields, and I think Arizona will struggle to get pressure on Jared Goff. Look for the Lions to go on the road and get a big road victory. I'll lay the price here with Detroit at minus 2.5.
All right. Bills team total over 25.5 points. That's where I'm heading. The total for this one against the Jags has dropped 2 points, mainly due to the Jags' offensive troubles. But I could see a shootout in this game. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they want to push the ball downfield. They want to strike big, and they've been giving up a ton of big plays. Now, Buffalo has swapped out speed and size. They have a big, burly receiving corps. I think that's where they have the advantage here in week three. We look at the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary. They have one corner that stands 6 foot. They have one safety that's over 6 foot. We're talking 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". Big old targets for Buffalo. I like them to put up more than 26 or more. And I like Josh Allen, 1.5 over on the TDs, which is not out yet, but I'm waiting for that number. That's what I like. Some more Bills scores on Monday Night Football. All right, that is a wrap for week three in this edition of the Sharp 600 podcast. A big thank you to Todd, a big thank you to Dell, a big thank you to FanVille Sportsbook, and of course, a big thank you to you for tuning in. A reminder, rate and review the podcast when you get a moment. We appreciate that. Todd, any final words of wisdom before week three?
Like we always say, you don't want to overreact to 2 data points, but you also don't want to underreact. The game that I'll be watching as a fan more so than a bettor. Let's see what we get out of Philadelphia on a short week against the flavor of the month in the National Football League, a resurgent Saints offense that looks like the greatest show on turf. That should be a fun game to watch and see which team is for real and which team we start to learn a little bit more about in terms of the NFC pecking order.
Had to throw just a little bit more salt in the wound of the old Dallas Cowboys. Hey, that one stung a little bit. All right, I'll get over it. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Until then, best of luck with your bets. It's the greatest week of the year, NFL Week 1, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is continuing its special offer to kick us off. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube-based plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL, must be 21 plus and present in select states or 18 plus and present in D.C. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.